How, I wonder, are we doing with the vineyard today? It would be easy for me to start pointing fingers at those nasty tenants who agreed to work the land while the landowner was away on business. Far easy to point to their greed in not allowing the harvest to be collected. Far too easy to point to their propensity for violence in the beating, stoning, and killing of the three servants who came to collect what belonged to the landowner. It is too easy to paint them as bad or wicked people. They even kill the son of the landowner when he comes. And we wonder, what kind of people are these? Why such violence, such hatred and distrust? To think, they thought that by killing the son, they would gain his property, his inheritance. It is far too easy to point our fingers at the chief priests and the elders who are in the audience and who heard Jesus tell this parable. A story with striking similarities as to what we heard in Isaiah and indeed in the song this morning. This story should not be a surprise to the chief priests and the elders. Indeed, they give the right answer, don't they? But we've read the parable. Indeed, we've read the whole book and we know what happens next. When the chief priests are singled out as being no better than those tenants, well, they don't like it one bit. But all of this is far too easy. It is important to note that this is the third response that Jesus gives to the temple leadership about questions of authority. We heard the first two last week in the question of John's baptism and the parable of the two sons. But here today, Jesus hammers the point home. Eugene Peterson describes parables as narrative time bombs. Eventually, the message clicks in and boom. And today's parable has a very short fuse. It does not take long to figure out the message that Jesus is sharing. We might say in our modern parlance and slang that this is one of those mic drop moments. Jesus has put a challenge before the chief priests, and we all know how it ends. It seems that telling parables can get you killed. But you know all of this. And it's far, far too easy. Instead, I'll ask again, how are we doing with the vineyard today? I regret to inform you that we are not doing very well with what God has entrusted to us. And please understand that I say that in very general and in the broadest of terms. I'm not pointing a finger at the good work that this congregation does. Rather, I am looking at the state of the world today. Yes, we can drill down and look and equate the vineyard to particular congregations and locations. And reading this parable allegorically, we see the vineyard as Israel And the words of Jesus point to widening the message to the Gentiles when he tells the chief priests, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." And yes, within the world there are acts of kindness and compassion and justice which are worthy of note. Courageous actions which change our world for the better. Acts of love which change the world of perhaps just a single person for the better. We know these things happen. And I know that you are involved in them. I have witnessed your acts of kindness to one another. I have seen how you welcome the other, offering love and compassion. We know that these things happen. And yet, when I look at the state of the vineyard today, I am filled with sadness. Because we are killing the servants who come to check in on us because of our shame. We have killed the son because of our guilt. And we live in a world which refuses to believe or to acknowledge that there is a holy and sovereign God. And the world has grown weary of our thoughts and prayers, which we offer for the world. Because the world itself and the people in it recognize how terrible the state of things are. And we all feel a little helpless. We live in a world where a mass shooting occurs in the United States, and the first and most immediate response is to not talk about guns or gun control, because we need to come together and support one another, which we do. And the next time happens, we will hear the same thing. We know this because that's what happened the last time. And we need something to break the cycle. We need something new to enter into the conversation, because the vineyard is in rough shape south of the border. But we shouldn't think that we are immune, because Canada has its own problems. Within our own area, within Northumberland County, we have a housing crisis with a vacancy rate of 0.3%, when a healthy vacancy rate is listed as 3%. And there are areas and municipalities in Northumberland County which are not interested in affordable housing. Please don't come and build here, is the message received. And we have First Nations communities in Canada which do not have access to potable water. We all assume that turning a tap and receiving drinkable water is just a right. Yet there are people in Canada who have to boil their water. There are over 153 drinking water advisories in Canada. Some of them span more than 2 decades. Shoal Lake 40 First Nations, which borders the Manitoba-Ontario border, and the lake, Shoal Lake, where they reside, supplies the city of Winnipeg with clean, potable drinking water. But the people of Shoal Lake 40 First Nations have been under a boil water advisory for 20 years. It's the same lake. The vineyard is in rough shape here in Canada too. And we haven't talked about places like Syria or other war-torn countries. We haven't spoken about economic practices which keep Western nations rich and other nations poor. We haven't talked about food security here at home or in places of the world experiencing famine and drought. Friends, the vineyard is not doing too well these days. We forget that we are only leasing the land. We forget that we were asked to care for it. It seems we have neglected some of the most foundational aspects of what God expects from us, of what Jesus came and taught to us. Friends, this is a parable about rejection and stewardship. Rejection because the tenants have thoroughly rejected God. The chief priests have rejected God. They will kill his son. It is a reminder of the rejection that we see in our own world. A world where it is far easier to bow down and worship the almighty dollar than it is to praise and worship our holy and sovereign God. And I wonder if we reject God because of our shame. The shame of what we have done with the things we were to care for. And this is a parable about stewardship, because it is obvious what we are supposed to be doing. Yet we seem to be content to confine ourselves to our own yards, forgetting that God asks that we tend to the whole vineyard, to all of creation. We are its stewards. A bumper sticker reads, "The world you desire comes not by chance, but by change." What a difference a letter can make. If we want to tend to the vineyard, then we need to be serious about it. And this is going to sound harsh, but Jesus didn't say to us, just send your thoughts and prayers to those in need. Jesus said, feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, care for the sick. Jesus said, go and do. And I'm not saying don't pray, but I am hoping our prayers motivate us towards action, that deeds would follow after our faith. Because you, all of you, are leaders in the kingdom of heaven. Whether you know it or not, whether you want to be or not, whether you like the idea or not, all of you are leaders in the kingdom of heaven. And God needs you. God needs you to go to work in the world. God needs you to work towards justice. God needs you to create a world where the Beatitudes aren't just a platitude. God needs you to create a world where the Beatitudes are not only possible, but a reality. On this Thanksgiving weekend, we can give thanks for what we have received. And as an act of thanksgiving, we can work to ensure that the vineyard is healthy and welcoming to all. Because you, all of you, are followers of Jesus Christ, known and called. And now, more than ever, God needs you. Amen.